You're listening to episode 98 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, live audio. Thursday for me was a day of drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to describe it. So I got three stories that kind of, to me, encapsulated the drama. The first one, have you heard of 40 Days of Dating?
No.
It's very interesting, and I think this could potentially be a new media thing. We'll see if they figure it out. There's these two people, a girl named Jessica, a guy named Timothy.
What's up, Timothy?
Yeah. They've been friends for the last 4 years. They're both graphic designers. They both made some sort of joke that they're like, oh, 4 years from now, if they're both single, we should go out. Well, guess what? 4 years have come, and they were both single. So they decided...
I don't know why.
So just wait. So they decided to date each other for 40 days and track their thoughts and feelings by answering the same set of questions each day. Okay?
Okay.
And then what they did, this is kind of cool, is they created a blog that does a new post each day that's retroactive. So, like, the 40 days have actually happened, and I don't know what the outcome is yet because we're only on, like, day 32. And so they're graphic designers, so they have really cool pictures, and the blog itself is themed really cool. And they, like, took snapshots of text messages they got or of, you know, things that they did. And, you know, of videos that they referenced or mentioned in it. So it's this, in some ways, it's a very multimedia experience. But it's also, I mean, it's like The Bachelor, essentially, you know, in a blog post form. And from what I understand, this thing has just gone, like, crazy huge, as you would expect.
Yeah.
Something like The Bachelor.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting. I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah. So from what I understand, I don't want to give too many spoilers. I haven't read the entire thing, just like 5 or 6 of the post days.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of cool. It's all in two columns, and so you read one response after another, and it's fun to see like their different interpretation of what happened that day. You know, essentially. What was a big deal to one person? They're like, oh, yeah, and we went out to eat. They're like, oh, my gosh, we had this horrible meal or something. But it's cool in a sense that it feels – this is going to sound strange, but it feels like a different form of entertainment, really.
Yeah.
Where it's these – you know, they talk about like, you know, TV series or, you know, you have like these TV series which are these supposedly never-ending things. Then you have movies which are, you know, very definite. And then you get like – what are those called? Like miniseries, right, which is kind of like this middle ground that Netflix and Hulu are really – and HBO, right? They dominate these sections. And you get the feeling that you have like you know, like a blog is something that is this never-ending, it just kind of keeps going story, and you check back in every few days and you get an update. And then you have, you know, I don't know if videos are the way to do it, but you have definite, like, landing pages where you go, you get your entertainment, and you're done, right? And this kind of fits right into that mini-series of, yeah, we started up a blog, it's well-designed, we put some effort into it, it tells a compelling story, and at the end of 40 days, I think they'll be done, or there'll be an epilogue or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I could definitely see. Could you imagine something like the Bachelor,
yeah, or something? Geez.
You know, Biggest Loser, whatever. Where they've got, you know, you could start to combine them. You've got your TV show where you do your update once a week, but then there's stuff happening during the week, and you have like these daily updates of maybe their journals and their thoughts, and you know, and. And you really get like the best in-depth experience when you're following.
I think this is like the heart of blogging and Tumblr. I mean, and to some degree, weirdly enough, I'd almost say that that's the heart of what we do. Is you know, we started this whole podcast as a, you know, you and I would talk to each other like once a week for a couple hours, and it revolved around, tech. And obviously we bring a lot of our personal relations into this. So that to me is not surprising at all. I hope that's a successful model, because that would mean we're on the right track. and even early on in discussions, before we settled on doing a video podcast or an audio podcast or whatever this is, I can't remember.
It is both, yes.
Exactly. Before we settled on that, we hadn't talked about doing some sort of do a blog where you write an article and then I'd write a response and then you'd write a response we'd go back and forth. That. So it's like, I don't know, it makes sense. I like to think of us as people who kind of have at least an inkling of how this could and should work. So to me, yeah, that's a very compelling idea. And it's, it comes off more as a novelette co-written based on, an autobiography novelette, really. And if you think about it, it's like, what was that one movie, Julia and Julie or whatever it was?
Julia and Julia.
Yeah, and it was the one, and the whole premise of that movie was a chick wrote a blog where she would cook Julia Gould food once a day for like a year, and then at the end of that period, they compressed that into a book, and then the book became the movie about the making of the blog that became the book that became the and time unraveled, Yeah, so I mean, you sit there and you go, it's a compelling way to deliver a story. It's an interesting way to live your personal life. I don't want to be too judgmental, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who would think that I live my personal life in an absolutely zany way. But it's interesting. It's cool. It's cool that they're sharing it, and it's obviously they're artistic people and talented, so it's very entertaining. I'm probably gonna read it and get my hopes up. Next week we'll come. They're 32 days in, so next week, man, next Sunday we'll know if they're sticking together or not.
Here's your teaser, man. Day 15 is a doozy.
Okay. Oh man, I'm excited.
Yeah. So it's this combination of like it's professionally done, right? Where the design is good. They're good enough writers that it it's easy to read, and there's twists and turns as any good story.
Right.
Content is king, I guess. But yeah, it's to me it's like, oh, this is cool. They're probably, I don't know, they, like you said, they may get some sort of movie deal off of this and actually make some money, which would be cool, especially.
Or they might find lifelong love. Jeez.
Oh yeah, that too. Well, whatever.
That's not the reason they're doing it, but that was the judgmentalism I was trying to keep out of this. Jeez.
anyways, thought that was cool. Another we'll stick with the relationship thing.
Okay.
For now, and then we'll do a more tech-focused dramatic one. There's a new trailer that came out recently called Her.
Mm.
Have you?
Is it about a girl? No, I haven't seen it.
Here.
Is this the opportunity?
Hopefully this will work.
Okay, I'll imagine it with my thoughts.
It's easy.
Which is how I usually imagine things.
So it has Joaquin Phoenix, Scarlett Johansson, Amy Adams.
I like them.
Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't been social in a while.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother? Thank you. Please wait as your operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
It's a computer, right?
Yeah.
Good morning, Theodore.
Morning.
We have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
You're too funny.
Okay, good, I'm funny. I want to learn everything about everything.
I love the way you look at the world.
So it's artificial intelligence, right? So she learns over time.
How long before you're ready to date?
What do you mean?
I saw in your emails that you've gone through a breakup.
Oh,
you're kind of nosy.
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody? How are you?
I guess I've just been having fun.
You really deserve that.
It's been a long time.
So he's like spinning around, taking pictures, showing it to the computer, visiting the beach with the computer.
What's it like to be alive in that room right now?
I wish I could put my arms around you. I wish I could touch you.
Oh, this is...
How would you touch me?
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
I think
we get the premise of it. He's fallen in love with a copy, a very well designed computer, and why wouldn't you make it look like Scarlett Johansson?
Well, it doesn't look like her. Weird. All you see is a screen, and it's like a dot that just talks.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting for me.
Think like how
I would say for me, I imagine Scarlett Johansson because I'm not seeing the video. So to me, that would be really weird because I'm imagining her.
Think like Google Now or Siri. Think Siri with Scarlett Johansson voice.
Right, which is probably a terrible idea because of what I just described, where if you close your eyes for a second, I guess it would have been better to, but that's why they did that on purpose. They wanted to implant a visual subconsciously in your brain to try to draw out the idea. Okay, I'm going to dive in really quick. What they wanted to do from a storytelling perspective is they wanted you to feel like the attractiveness of this robot, and they did that by implanting a voice in your head that already has a strong visual stimulus to it, and then trying to convince you that no, you're just falling in love with the voice by showing you a dot, which is not the case at all. I mean, but on the same token, I don't think you'd have to be very far outside of what makes a normal human being to fall in love with a interesting and attractive voice on a computer screen.
Who is smart and learns about you and after a while actually genuinely cares about you.
Yeah, and matches your personality because they are begotten.
But anyways,
of you.
That movie's coming out. I added it to my I'd like to watch this list because it's very intriguing. Which, by the way, I don't know what you do. How do you keep track of movies you're interested in?
I've got a brain for it.
Ah, see, I don't use my brain. I instead, here comes the ad, I use my Fandango app.
Nice.
And what I'll do is when I see a movie that I think is interesting, I will I'll search for it, and then you just say, I'm in, and it adds it to your movie list, and then somewhere in here you can add an alert that when it comes out, you get alerted. Like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's coming out. I should go watch it. Yeah, so I got good stuff. Like, I got Jobs, Ender's Game, Thor.
Oh, baby.
Which, by the way, November's going to be crazy. November 1st, Ender's Game. November 8th, Thor, The Dark World. This movie comes out November 20th, Her. Then November 22nd is The Hunger Games.
Catching fire. That's what I'm talking about.
And then next year we got The Muppets Most Wanted. We got Captain America, The Winter Soldier, X-Men, Days of Future Past, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Oh, man.
There you go. That's what I got on my list.
The one I got to see Elysium, which came out yesterday, but I was watching Paul McCartney.
Priorities.
I would go and see it today, but I'm watching Nine Inch Nails, and I'd go and see it tomorrow, but I'm flying to England. So I'll probably have to do it for my birthday next weekend if I'm back from England. But I'm super stoked about Elysium.
Cool.
It's getting good enough reviews for me.
Looks intriguing.
Yeah.
So the other bit of drama that happened this week comes from a Mr. Billy Gates.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's more like
it comes off a little bit pretentious in this one.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what you love about Bill. They're asking him. He was in a wide ranging interview, and one of the things they talked to him about was Google's Project Loon, something that you think is cool, and so do a lot of other people. and he was just like, you know, it's kind of cool. You know, but he was like, when you talk about helping to solve the world's problems, for obvious reasons, he's a big fan of like curing malaria, and he's been working on that. So he says, when you're dying of malaria, I suppose you'll look up and see that balloon, and I'm not sure how to help you. Wow, I destroyed that quote.
It's all right. It deserves to be destroyed.
That's all right. So, but yeah, he was highly critical of Google putting all that effort. He even went after the Google org where he was like, they came out and said, we're going to change the world. We're going to do amazing things. And he's like, and then it got completely shut down. And now they're just doing these types of projects. He's like, you know, whatever. It's cool to support your core business, but don't pretend like you're trying to change the world.
Yeah, so let's start here.
Fighting words.
I was gonna say I originally titled the article before I realized you had it already and highlighted it. My original title was Philanthropist Bill Gates criticizes for-profit Google. I mean, number one, you've got more money than anybody, literally than anybody. You've almost got more money than Google itself, and you're like. You're coming at them as they're trying to build a sustainable business, and yours is collapsing. Well, it's not collapsing, but it's floundering a bit. But, you know, he's completely changed his mind, and he has these, like, really, really high-impact goals, which are awesome. Like, he really is doing some incredible work with the money that he has. But the thing is he's trying to make the most amount of impact that he possibly can in the short period of time that he's going to be alive. The thing is, and you know, the reality of it is, his ability to make those impact are directly related to infrastructures, projects that were built for him by people 50 years before him, while True. Malaria was still a huge problem and hunger in America was still a huge problem and, you know, world wars were going on. Those infrastructure projects were being done and, you know, oftentimes trying to solve small problems, but occasionally people would go in and try to solve big problems. They're going to be problems 100 years from now. And when they solved those problems, those gave rise to the Industrial Revolution. Those gave rise to, technological infrastructure.
He's criticizing Google.org, actually is a nonprofit, and came out and said we're gonna, you know, help the world, you know, by doing a broad set of things, and he's like, and they're just not, I think, and
coming off as like a total jerk. I mean, he's just coming off as a.
I agree. He should have mouth shut, not said anything. So it's interesting. I'll be watching it.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, he comes off as though it's an unimportant project, and it's like, it's awesome if you get a bunch of people that are cured of malaria, and like, that is really awesome, but if they're uneducated, what have you really, how much have you done, how much have you helped them, and and this is the part that gets me, is there's a lot of philanthropists, you know, philosophers that would come and say you're better off educating people than curing their diseases
SimCity proves over and over and over.
Exactly, because once you start to educate, then you can improve food, you can improve overall health concerns.
They don't cause fires, they don't become criminals.
Exactly. You just started playing SimCity again, for the record.
I did. Awesome.
And I know. And
you hear, it's worse than that. I played SimCity, and then I watched a 44-minute video of someone else playing SimCity yesterday.
Jeez.
That's how. And you know what? I loved every minute of it.
I say, not shocking at all.
It was so cool. Level.
On any level, yeah. No, and the thing is that I sit there and I go, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's just an interesting attack, you know.
Dramaticas, man. That's the corporate opera right there.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. Especially because both projects are really cool and doing really good things for the world. Like, why do we need to be so at odds with whatever?
He hates Google, right? We know this.
And he's a mudslinger and always has been.
Came out and said horrible stuff about Microsoft on the stage, and he's just like, you know what? Take this. Yeah, take sure. that. I don't like you. I love it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
You know, you get like HP and Lenovo, they're coming out with Android notebooks going, oh, yeah, Surface Pro, we don't think that's good. Windows 8 is dumb. You know, he's a frustrated man.
Yeah, it's true. And I'll wear my biases on my sleeve. I'm more impressed by the poor person that gives $10, but it's 90% of their paycheck versus the, you know, multi-billionaire that will never want for anything, no matter how much money he gives away, giving away all of his money. So, I say that in that, I don't say that to say that that somehow makes him worse than Google. I say that to say I think he's doing good work with the resources that he's been given, but I don't think that puts him on any sort of moral high ground, because it doesn't actually suffer him anything to give. He could do whatever he wanted. It's good that it's better than what he could be doing with it, but it's not like he's some sort of it's not like and that's, I guess that's the point. It's exactly what you say, is it's so clear that it's not a moral problem. It's a, I don't like Google because they hurt my business and they hurt my profits. And
my feelings.
They hurt my feelings, exactly. So he's coming back and I'm like, oh yeah, you think you're so awesome, well, I'm more awesomer. And the worst part is that
I may not be able to beat you in the marketplace, but I can beat you in the nonprofit place.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly, and you're just like, oh man, what a stupid competition. Why don't you just go and save people's lives and, you know, try to be a little modest about it? But that's not Bill Gates' style, never has been. So he was more fun as a businessman when he didn't try to take the moral high ground, because it was just good politics.
You just go, just business.
Yeah, exactly. It's just fun to watch him jerk around with people. But
yeah, anyways, that's my drama. That all happened on Thursday.
That was a good day.
I had a big Thursday.